I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the program, we're going to preview St. Louis Design Week, films, discussions, competitions, and exhibitions that celebrate creative people in our community. We'll preview the week with Margaret McDonald of Arcturus and Lisa Melandri of Contemporary Art Museum St. Louis. On Soundbites with Sauce Magazine, new restaurants and bars opening around town, and the challenges for restaurant owners who open multiple establishments with totally different concepts. And we head north to the Mississippi River town of Louisiana for an event that attracts plein air artists from across the Midwest. Tonight, the award-winning musical Cabaret opens at the Repertory Theater of St. Louis.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Put down the knitting, the book and the broom. Time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. Come taste the wine.
And that's from the original Broadway recording of Cabaret, Jill Hayworth as Sally Bowles. Cabaret is based on a book by Christopher Isherwood with music by John Kander and lyrics by Fred Ebb. At the Rep, the role of the MC made famous by Joel Grey, both on stage and on film, is played by Nathan Lee Graham, whose Broadway credits include The Wild Party and Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and Zoolander, Sweet Home Alabama, and Hitch on film. Nathan Lee Graham, welcome to Cityscape.
Good afternoon. Nice to be here.
Great to have you here. And Marcia Milgram Dodge directs. She joins us now along with the Rep's artistic director, Steve Wolf. Hello to both of you.
Hi.
Hi, Steve.
Nathan, I can't think of a better person to ask this question.
Uh-oh.
Is Michelle Williams the new Liza Minnelli?
We'll see.
For those who don't know, she's going to do a Broadway revival, right?
Absolutely.
So that was a pretty noncommittal answer, so we'll just move on.
Yes.
Okay. Marcia and Steve, I think Cabaret really grabs people. Do you agree with me, and why do you think that is?
Yeah, it really grabs people. I think it's an extraordinary piece of writing. Marcia's directing and choreographing the piece, and not only does the piece itself grab people, I mean, Marcia's vision and this company grab people, because not only is it an entertainment, there's a powerhouse story in this. This is set 29-30-31. It's before the Third Reich really took over, but you see the beginnings of the big change going on in the world. And this piece captures the shift and the change. And so it's more than just fabulous entertainment, as it gets more and more horrifying as it goes on. And so you leave thinking that was more than just coming to see a musical. There is a lot to think about. I think it's a very special piece.
Yeah, Marcia, Steve talks about your vision. So say something about that, because people should know that the film version, which a lot of people are familiar with, is not a carbon copy of the original. And I even believe even the stage version has some variances.
Yes, that's for sure. And let's give great credit to Joe Masteroff, the book writer. Although it was adapted from Christopher Isherwood's stories, Joe is a master craftsman when it comes to writing a libretto for a musical. And you follow this journey of a couple of key people, Sally Bowles, of course, and Liza, you know, created an indelible Sally Bowles in the film version in Fosse's great vision of that material. But he didn't follow the original Broadway script at all. The original Broadway script didn't really deal with the character of Cliff, who's the Isherwood alter ego, didn't really deal with his homosexuality. And
is that the Michael York character in the film?
Michael York in the film. And then in the 87 revival, Kander and Ebb and Masteroff again refashioned a scene and created a new song for Cliff called Don't Go, which we're using in our show. And then I got permission from Kander himself to interpolate Maybe This Time into the show as well. So it will have everything that people expect to hear from Cabaret, from their knowledge of the film. But I never preach to the choir. I never want to do a show assuming everybody knows it. And when I approach a revival, I approach it as a new piece of writing. Mm-hmm. I have to find my own way into it. I have to find its context for the life that we're living now. And, you know, amazingly and sadly, it's relevant. What's going on in our political climate around the world is you know, definitely inside of this musical, and the fears of what happens when a extremist comes into power. Mm. And the big question of the musical for me that we constantly have to ask ourselves is, what would you do? Oh. And I believe that that's what we're going through right now.
I want to follow up on that later. Nathan, though, there's an interesting story that you actually auditioned for this role, what, like 15 years ago?
Has it been that long?
I
certainly did, yeah. For the replacement of Mr. Cumming, Alan Cumming, who did the 1998 revival.
98, yeah.
They just weren't ready. You know, I was ready.
I know what you mean by that, but tell us what you mean by that.
Well, they weren't quite really ready for the color-conscious casting that would have required a person like me to be a part of the show. They would have had to totally remount the show for me, make it work for me.
I want you to explain. You're African-American. Let's point that out. To me, I don't see what difference that makes in the role of the MC, so what am I missing?
Nothing. Thank you for saying that.
Nothing.
Actor that auditioned. I cast the most exciting actor that auditioned, and with great credit to my casting director, Rich Cole, for bringing Nathan in, because he had seen him do something off Broadway
He had just seen a production of Hit the Wall at the Barrow Street.
At the Barrow Street, and he said, this actor has so much charisma and depth and fascination. And if you list all the criteria for what you want in an MC, all those qualities emerge. And so he brought him in. And for a moment, we all were like, oh, we haven't thought of that. And thank you for opening our eyes and opening our hearts to this. But once Nathan, and I offered him the job in the room at the callback.
Which never happens, by the way.
Do you want to do this?
So,
and we have a little bit of history together.
Yes.
A strange sort of project that we did together when Nathan was right out of school. But we just got so excited that we started delving into the black experience during the early part of the 20th century and found so much support for a character who would exist in a Berlin club in 1930.
And Marcia's right in saying that we just had never thought of it before. So when I say they weren't ready, I also mean that it never happened before. So it would never even occurred to them that, well, why are you, you know, and why are you even here? And I said, well, part of the reason I'm here is because somebody thought of it.
Well, and it's not like it's inappropriate. Am I correct? In 1930s Berlin, there would have been black performers.
Oh, yeah. Josephine Baker was a huge star.
Right.
She was taking Berlin by storm before she took Paris by storm. And Noble Sissel and Sidney Bechet and Ubi Blake and all of these American jazz artists went over there because they could walk down the street a little easier there. They were celebrated in a way that we weren't embracing our own.
And they could express, you know, their art there. You know, because they truly were artists and they just needed a vehicle in which to, you know, channel it through. So they couldn't do it here in the States as much. And they could do it there. So they went there.
It must be sort of a cool experience for you after having auditioned for this so long ago and then coming full circle. And now you're actually doing it.
Not only am I doing it, but I'm doing it at the Rep, which is basically where I learned how to be the actor that I am today.
Right. You grew up here and went to school there.
I did.
Yeah.
In the discipline that I learned at Webster University, but also having a theater of that caliber on your university within the confines of the university is a dream come true.
Steve, paint a picture of the production for us.
Oh, boy. Mm. It is, how can I paint a picture of production that lives both in the cabaret and at Frau Schneider's, you know,
boarding house
and Michael Schweikert has designed a fluid set that we move back and forth very easily. Marcia's brilliantly, constructed transitions. We're never waiting for set changes. John Lasseter's lighting is beautiful. The costumes that Angela Wendt did are staggering. Mm-hmm. Work that is done both in our costume shop and our craft shop will blow you away. It's amazing.
My costumes are incredible.
Yes. I mean, and you've seen craft work and mask work that is just stunning. And the other thing is the caliber of the cast can sing and dance and knock your socks off. And Liz Pierce, who plays Sally, is just a knockout. I mean, she's a singer, dancer, actor.
And she can do all of them at the same time, yeah. which I tell Liz constantly. You would think that this is not a novel idea, but I tell you, she's the best Sally that I've seen in a very long time.
So there's a complete story going on with support at all levels, you know?
Nathan, I'm curious about this. I want you to comment on it. The MC's a fascinating role because it's a character that, breaks down the fourth wall. So that's a little different.
Well, it is. It's a little different, but then, of course, it's a theater tradition, too, to have that sort of narrator position to guide you through. It's like I'm a one-man Greek chorus, you know, and it's always exciting to break the fourth wall because you're still engaged in the story that's happening on stage, but you're bringing people along, and so the audience actually becomes that extra cast member, to be quite honest.
They become his accomplices.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, let's see what's happening along with me.
You're kind of winking at the audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, the MC really takes the situation of the main story, which is Cliff's self-discovery and his relationship.
Let's back up just a second for
Cliff,
those people.
Clifford Bradshaw.
Young American goes to Berlin.
Goes to Berlin to find himself, to find something to write about. He calls himself a writer, but we have yet to see anything that he's written at the beginning of the show. Says he had one book that showed promise but didn't really make a name for himself. Seeking out an acceptance of who he is as a sexual man as well, and bumps into Sally Bowles, who rocks his world and changes his life and opens his eyes and bludgeons him emotionally on a lot of levels.
It's, you know, late night Berlin nightlife, right?
Yeah, and he's seduced by this city and the people in it, and he meets Fräulein Schneider and the people at the boarding house, and there's a sub-story between Fräulein Schneider and Herr Schultz, who's a beautiful Jewish character. It's probably the first Jewish person he's ever met. And all of this comes tumultuously to a climax that, you know, soars and emotionally for the company and for the audience. And the MC along the way comments, cajoles, satirizes. And so what I did was I looked for political cartoon statements to make with these numbers that he does. And so the commentary becomes very delicious and colorful and seductive. And if you read, you know, my research led me to believe that the Nazis took over in a very seductive, slow, insidious way. And so in the course of the show, things change and morph in a similar parallel.
I want to bring up a topic that you and I talked briefly about before we went on. Adult themes. So you want to say maybe children of certain ages shouldn't go, but you made an interesting point to me earlier.
Well, I have a child. My daughter is going to be 16 next week, and she's come to the theater with me ever since she was, you know, 13 months old, and has seen everything from Hair when she was 4 to Ragtime when she was 13, and she asks questions. And whatever she doesn't really understand, she doesn't understand, and it goes sort of swimming by her. But the things that cause her to ask a question, that's our responsibility as parents to answer them and to help guide and educate. So I think the theater is a place where education can be so beautifully suggested and taught without reading a book and practicing for a test and, you know, creating discussion.
And Nathan, you did something interesting. You made up your own, probably actors do this all the time, but you made up your own backstory to this character just, I guess, to help put you in the right place?
I did, and also to justify me being a part of this show. I would do it for any production and any play, any musical that I would do anyway.
So what's your backstory?
Well, basically my backstory is not unlike Josephine Baker's backstory. And it's paralleled even with Nathan Lee Graham, because my sort of made-up character, Charlie Sanders, was born here in St. Louis, as was Josephine Baker, as was Nathan Lee Graham. Mm-hmm. And from that, I believe that Charlie knew Josephine, right? And so they get on the Chitlin' circuit. They're on the Orpheum circuit. They get to New York. An impresario from Berlin comes and picks them up, takes them over to Berlin. They're in a show. Josephine goes to the Folies Bergère. Charlie Sanders stays in Berlin, opens the Kit Kat Club.
And now Nathan's the MC. The repertory...
Voila.
Theater's amazing. The Repertory Theater of St. Louis presents Cabaret, opening tonight, running through October the 6th at the Loretto Hilton at Webster University. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to the Rep's website. You can find out about tickets and showtimes and all the rest of that. In conclusion, Steve, Marcia said something earlier about the whole themes being relevant to what's going on today, Assyria and everything else. So
the issue is when, because we've set this, 29, 30, 31, which is before Hitler really took over. I mean, the Third Reich, as Marcia was saying, it was insidious and seductive. And you look at somebody, some monster being developed, and you look at what's going on now and you say, could somebody say no? Could somebody say stop it? Mm-hmm. And so we're at the early point here, and you wonder, could somebody have said stop it to Hitler? We're early enough in it. So there are parallels there that just make this pulse in a different, I think, unique way.
Cabaret opens tonight at the Rep. I'll be there tonight. I'm really looking forward to it. That was Steve Wolf, Artistic Director of the Rep. Marcia Milgram Dodge is the director. Nice to meet you for the first time.
Nice to meet you.
And Nathan Lee Graham, welcome back home. And you had a birthday this week, so happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Cabaret at the Rep. Coming up next on Cityscape, St. Louis Design Week, and later, Sound Bites and a plein air art event in Louisiana, Missouri. This is St. Louis Public Radio.